This is Ben Craven from bencraven.com, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast. Episode 15 of the Yes Music Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Lyle Ryan. Please remember you can get involved with the podcast on the site www.yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can subscribe via RSS or iTunes. You can also subscribe to the email, blog post and episode updates. You can read and then comment on the show notes there or the blog posts. You can follow the show on Twitter at Yes Music Podcast or send me an email, show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can even upload a file, if you like, via the link on the right-hand side of the website and appear on the show yourself. Leave a voicemail message on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. It's great to see that some of you have started listening to the podcast on Stitcher. If you have a smartphone, you can download the Stitcher app for free and listen that way. So this week's featured album is Talk from 1994. After the union of forces on last week's album, here we have a much clearer picture. It's a single album by a single band. In fact, it's the Yes West lineup featured on Union, as well as on 90125 and Big Generator. So we have John Anderson, Trevor Rabin, Chris Squire, Tony Kaye and Alan White. Production is by Trevor Rabin, and the songs are credited mainly to Rabin and Anderson, with the addition of Squire and Roger Hodgson on a couple of tracks. So that's a fascinating fact. This album should be a blend of Anderson classic prog rock and Rabin-era power rock. Sounds promising. And a quick glance at the sleeve notes is even more enticing. The tracks are mainly long, and Endless Dream even has specified sections, in classic Yes style, split up into A, B and C. The album art has been taken in a very different direction, with Roger Dean ditched in favour of 90s-era computer graphics, in the same way as 90125 was state-of-the-art for the 80s. I have a special edition of Talk, but I'm using the original for the purposes of this episode, because, as I have said several times in this podcast, I'm just interested in the music, not the story of the creation of the album, which is elaborated on in the sleeve notes of the special edition. Talk is dedicated to all Yes fans, which means you and me, so everything's looking good so far as track one, The Calling, begins. It starts with an introduction featuring acoustic guitar from Rabin, and then the Big Generator Yes Choir of Anderson, Rabin and Squire, who blend very effectively, and it sounds like this track is going to be very much in the same mould as Big Generator. A huge Rabin power riff blasts in, and then Alan White practically knocks the speakers off the shelf with the fattest, loudest, dirtiest rhythm I think I've ever heard him play. It's high-octane stuff, and just increases again when Squire introduces a massive pounding bass line. The energy is infectious, and I find it an incredibly exciting opening. Anderson's vocal line sounds husky and lies quite low in his range initially, which reinforces the heavy rock feel. This is nothing like classic era Yes, but it's really, really good music, and drives on inexorably. I suppose you won't like the chorus if you're not into American stadium rock, but the track is so well crafted that I defy you to be unmoved by its power and motion. I think Anderson takes the next verse up an octave, which ratchets up the tension even more, and Tony Kaye is in his element, adding subtle but expertly judged interjections. This is, of course, terrible driving music, in the sense that accelerating non-stop for 6 minutes 52 seconds is illegal and very dangerous. Halfway through the track is a passage of guitar and keyboards which climbs higher and higher, once again taking the overall feel of the music higher and higher as well, and it culminates in a fabulous Rabin solo blended with Kaye work, reminiscent of the Wakeman Howe battles of old. Hold on a minute, this is sounding dangerously like Yes. The creative sections segue beautifully, the chorus piles in again, and the vocals between the backing chorus and Anderson work really well. All band members seem completely committed and fired up for this track. The end is also beautifully handled, dying away via elaborately arranged instrumental and vocal motifs. Wow. What an opener. A dramatic, powerful tour de force showcasing some of the best aspects of Yes from each of the preceding decades. I Am Waiting opens with a beautiful guitar theme played in restrained style by Rabin, and then he launches into full-blown axe hero mode again for a massively contrasting section supported by the whole band. The opening refrain repeats and then Anderson brings the vocals in. The loud section is a touch on the brash side, but don't be put off. The contrast between the two sections is accomplished in masterly fashion. I urge you to put this track on at high volume so you get the full effect of the music. Fantastic production and very strong material. Anderson's vocal line is sung above the original guitar theme, and the contrapuntal counter melodies fit together perfectly. In a relatively simple structure, the loud theme returns, this time with Anderson adding sparse vocal touches above. Around 3 minutes 30, this moves seamlessly into rocky sections with grungy guitar work and insistent vocals, this time from Rabin himself. It strikes me as I listen to this that Rabin has the ability to use an incredibly wide palette of different sounds and moods in his guitar work, and this track shows how he can blend at times hard rock screeching and at other times low and dirty timbres with pure and simple sounds in the same piece. He has created a wonderful set of contrasts in this song using these techniques. Anderson's tender vocals are a fantastic contrast to the louder sections, and this classic Yes technique of contrasting sections is accomplished brilliantly in this song. It's not classic Yes in terms of the soundscape, but in strength of construction and vision it rivals the best of the classic era. Next comes Real Love, which opens with moody, low pulsating squire bassline below acoustic guitar patterns and percussion effects. Anderson's vocals are also understated, even though it's a strong melody. You get the feeling that the music is building up to something big. It's less about order out of chaos and more about an insistent building up towards an unclear culmination. In fact, it turns out that the opening is building up to another huge trademark Rabin power riff or melodic pattern based on the opening figures, and we know we have arrived. The technological credentials of the album, just think of the packaging, are emphasised as Rabin sings a bridge which mentions English scientific genius Stephen Hawking, and the musical pressure builds up again until the release of the chorus. It's a series of long lines in the chorus, both vocally and instrumentally, with very memorable and strong melodic elements. The heaviness and dirtiness of Rabin's riffing is quite incredible, and continues this time through the bridge, building up the tension once again towards that catchy chorus. Quite unlike some of the poorer tracks on Big Generator or Union, this is heavy writing mixed in with contrasting sections to create a coherent and satisfying whole piece. It's not loud and heavy playing for the sake of it in the absence of better ideas. The music blasts off the CD, taking no prisoners. It's fantastic. And if Real Love was rocky enough for you, State of Play will blow you away. Rabin turns it all the way up to 11 with the opening riff, and Alan White piles in with a pattern which is a careful and thunderous mixture of creative rock styles, perfectly matching the intensity and power of Rabin. Squire and Kay add their own touches, and then the superbly layered vocals come in, supported by acoustic guitar, and a patchwork of, once again, contrasting sections is set up. It's obviously Rabin's writing again, but the combination of sections at times features soaring high Anderson vocal lines, elevating the music via superb production far beyond the mediocre 80s stadium rock that it could have been. This is the 90s, and it sounds like Rabin's studio production techniques have now the ability to fully use the CD format to produce a compelling, exciting, vibrant sound. If Eddie Offord took the band to new heights in the studio in the 70s, and Trevor Horn moved them on in the 80s, then Rabin has done it again here in the 90s. After this fantastic start, the next track, Walls, is a tiny bit disappointing. It's very strong in terms of construction and melodic structure again, but it feels very much like a Rabin solo piece this time, with the rest of the band in supporting mode. The chorus, for example, is pure 80s pop rock, but sounds out of place on a Yes album. Straight ahead, stadium rock is great, but when you have John Anderson, Chris Squire, Alan White and Tony Kaye relegated to Trevor Rabin's house band, it does seem a bit of a waste. The vocal harmonies, solo guitar work, massive hooks and strong melodies are works of impressive creative mastery, but it's not until three quarters of the way through when Anderson takes on the lead vocal duties for a time that it sounds anything like Yes, or at least the 70s or best of the 80s version. Where Will You Be starts in a totally different mood. Eastern-sounding percussion combines beautifully with subtle ostinato keyboard and guitar patterns. Anderson's vocal lines are undulating and cover a wide pitch range, creating a feel of solidarity, which is careful word painting for lines like We Can, We Walk Hand in Hand. The lyrics are classic Anderson poetry and completely different in style to the previous tracks. Their meaning is to be inferred rather than plain or obvious. The feeling is reinforced by the instrumentation, with keyboards doubling the contours of the vocal line and then doubling the guitar line. More movement is added in by Alan White, although the overall tempo does not increase. It's just the mood which is moved up a notch, and then again by a subtle key change, and the texture is taken a little darker by more raucous but ultimately restrained guitar. The ostinato percussion and keyboard parts are omnipresent, and a long Rabin acoustic solo begins to fight against the accompaniment, trying to move the feeling onwards, but is always held back by the repeating bed of sound. Anderson brings in the main theme again, backed by guitar once again, and the piece ebbs and flows gently with Yes choir interjections to the end, which features a slightly surprising keyboard chord. It's a lovely song, and acts once again, as we have seen before, as somewhat of a palate cleanser before the last epic, which is the multi-part Endless Dream. The first part is called A, Silent Spring, which is labelled instrumental. Tony Kaye gets us underway with a repeated pattern, which is then interrupted by loud chords, which usher in a very progressive sounding sequence of long, percussive, odd time signature full band playing. This opening part is only 1 minute 56 seconds long, but it has within it more progressive rock elements than the rest of the album put together. There are runs on the guitar, massive contrasts, that odd time signature, and loads of passionate, fast, loud, virtuosic playing. This is 90s prog rock at its absolute best, and it sounds rather like this version of the band have suddenly remembered they're a prog rock band and have reinvented the genre for the new decade, retaining the important features but also adding the best of Yes from the 80s into the bubbling, irresistible mix. The track segues into the next section, B, Talk. This is the main section with the A and C small bookends, rather reminiscent of the concept of the much larger bookends I referred to on Fragile, but this time in one track rather than one side of an album. The track Talk is certainly an epic in terms of scale at 11 minutes 56, and it starts with an immediate direct contrast to the end of Silent Spring. Kaye introduces Rabin vocals by the use of quiet piano, and the voice is steeped in a dramatic effect, which almost makes the lyrics inaudible. In fact, the vocals are only the second example I can think of in the whole of Yes music where so much treatment is added, the other example being, of course, Astral Traveller. The voice passages are interspersed with short piano interludes, and the mood is quiet and peaceful, with a graceful piano motif which emerges gradually. Then a more chordal passage introduces Anderson singing above some quite Rick Wakeman-esque piano work, and here's a segment to play to the Tony Kaye doubters. Not only is it exquisitely beautiful, it also showcases the talents of the often underrated musician. Anderson's line soars up into the stratosphere, and you know that something is going to happen. And it does. Rabin and the rest of the band erupt with a heavy motif which points backwards towards the 80s power era, but because perhaps of what has gone before, it seems much more balanced and so much more acceptable in a proper Yes piece. And in fact, it is soon replaced by a creative segment where Rabin gets to play not only with the stereo fader, but also with his own guitar effects to produce a fun little sideshow. This then metamorphoses with the addition of fragments of vocal harmonies and creative drumming into another stadium rock guitar theme and huge Anderson-led chorus. But even this is broken down quickly as a section of creative sound effects and musical snippets swirl around the listener. We are halfway through now, and the complexity of the track is beginning to become clear. I'm left wondering what will happen next, or at least I was when I first listened to this track. Kaye sets up an ostinato pattern and then another complementary one as the rest of the instrumentalists begin to get more and more agitated and restless until one of the main guitar themes reappears in triumphant and spine-tingling style. This is exactly what us die-hard Yes fans have been waiting for. It's pure order out of chaos, tension release stuff, like in the best of the classic albums. When this theme reappears, I defy any Yes fan to remain unmoved. It's an amazing moment, definitely one of my Yes, champagne moments. That catchy, strong chorus comes in again with Anderson elaborating vocals above and then joining in with the others for So Take Your Time. This could easily be the chorus of a mediocre Yes song, but it's been wrapped in a gilt-edged progressive structure and given the superb production and arrangement that it needs to elevate it to what we all know and love about Yes. After this triumph, we segue into the final section, C, Endless Dream. It's rather more of an epilogue than a new section, but calmly brings the piece and the album to a close with some recapitulation of material and a bit of improvised sounding keyboard work. Once again, I'm finding myself exhausted at the end of a Yes epic, and that's exactly what I want to be. Analysing the music like this, living inside it as I prepare for these podcast episodes, reminds me every week that there are other bands out there, but if I really was stranded on that desert island, I'd rather take Yes music than any other. Overall, I consider Talk, with a few minor provisos, to be Yes right back on form after some quite considerable time. There's enough progressive rock here to keep me satisfied, and the other tracks are almost all worthy additions to the Yes catalogue, in their particular style. It was great at the time to have the band back producing this quality of music, but as we shall see, this is very, very far from the end of the Yes story. And I, for one, am thankful for that. So that's about it for this week. Thanks once again so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Next week we move on to the studio tracks from the next two albums, Keys to Ascension 1 and 2, from 1996 and 1997. I'm not going to look at the live tracks at this time. So your homework, as usual, listen to Keys to Ascension 1 and 2 and see what you think. Then listen next week and see if you agree with me. Also, of course, please get involved at yesmusicpodcast.com, on Twitter at yesmusicpodcast, by sending an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com, by uploading a file, or leaving a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next time, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.